He didn't keep up. Neither did I, of course. If Lady and the old man indulged in a headbutting contest, it was over before I got there. Maybe I could take Smoke back to look their meeting over. When I got there, they were looking up at the tall white wall and deciding how best to exploit the situation. Lady was saying, "I fear our supply of bamboo poles is growing too small. It's certain that Long Shadow will send shadows against us at least once." She spoke Taglian. She didn't care who heard what she said. And plenty of years were nearby, including Blade, Willow Swan, and the Nar generals Ochiba and Sindawe, none of whom enjoyed my complete trust. Crows were, as always, plentiful too. They were turning the ruins of Kialune into a major rookery. Good eating there, I suppose, with the cold weather preserving the corpses of the Shadow Master's subjects. Almost everyone threw rocks at the birds. They'd become adept at dodging. I suspected resignation would set in eventually, and the only time we would enjoy any privacy would be when Lady used one of the spells she developed for frightening the birds away. A ripple of astonished disturbance passed through the circling birds. No one else noticed, but I was alert for it because I'd been wondering if One Eye was going to watch. If anyone else figured this out, you can do nothing in this world without leaving some mark, somehow. If someone else knows, what sort of trace you will leave? One of the crystal tower tops received so many fireballs that it began to ring. The sound started as a soft hum and rapidly swelled to a raging shriek. The tower top exploded in a cloud of smoke and dust and spinning shards that melted holes in the snow and earth wherever they fell. The event so startled everyone that it distracted even Lady for a moment. In that brief moment, Long Shadow counterattacked. The boots of an invisible giant 1,000 feet tall began stomping and kicking the men atop Overlook's wall and those trying to join them. In the moments it took Lady to overcome her surprise and respond, every ladder got stripped away, and the bands holding the secured section of wall got scattered. Many fell to their deaths. Lady stopped the stomping, but all efforts to reestablish a ladder link to the men up top failed. Long Shadow was fully into the game. Croker stayed and watched for the rest of the day. I stayed with him. Nothing much happened. We walked back. Croker said, "Overall, that may have been a net gain. We still have people inside, if we can preserve them. We shall make every effort." His mind was racing. Something had happened outside whatever play script he'd written, and he was trying to incorporate it as a positive. He had no attention left over for little questions like why I was using Ty Day's horse while my brother-in-law was hoofing it. Which reminded me that I needed to check up on Sleepy. The weather and the war hadn't gone the way I'd expected here, so his life might not have been comfortable lately either. The wind rose dramatically during our walk. Pellets of ice came as precursors of the storm. "I've got a feeling this is going to be a bad one," Croker grunted. "Pity she didn't pull it off this morning. We could be inside and warm. At least it ought to be about the last big one of the winter. That reminds me, how are we doing finding seed grain?" Chapter 47. The storm lingered a long time.